I've been the only one to stand up to this bloated Pentagon budget, to this cause of war of this administration, to the shift of priorities that they've created by invoking fear in this country. And as I continue to do that, I'm confident that more and more people will see that it's my candidacy which will bring about the kind of fundamental change which Americans really aspire to. Americans want a country which is fearless. They want a country which has jobs for all, health care for all, and education for all. And I make the connection. My candidacy makes the connection between the aspirations of people and challenging this administration's march to war on fraudulent premises and their insistence on keeping this country in a condition of fear.
There will be no going back to the era before September the 11th, 2001, to false comfort in a dangerous world.
The act is to make the country more secure and the world more free. But when you're marching to war, it's tough on the economy. For this reason, the message, march to war, is not conducive for optimistic investment. Marching to war is negative, not positive. It's hard to be optimistic about the future when you look on your TV screen and it says America's marching to war.
In less than 3 years, a projected 10-year surplus of $5.6 trillion has turned into a projected deficit of $3.6 trillion.
I hope you could tell last night and so far today that I'm incredibly optimistic about our nation's future. And I've got reason to be. Not only do I know the character of the people, I'm beginning to see some results in some important areas that say optimism is defines the future of this country. Let me talk about the economy, for starters. This economy is strong, and it is getting stronger.
There are 2.4 million more people unemployed now than when the administration took office.
I tell you, I'm optimistic not only because of the numbers, I'm optimistic because I remember where we have come from. In March of 2000, the stock market, which is an indicator of, sometimes an indicator of economic times to come, started to decline. And then we had a recession. 01, the first quarter of 01 was recessionary. That's negative growth. And when the economy is not growing, it's hard for people to find a job. And then we kind of got going, got things going. The Congress passed the stimulus package. And things started getting better, and then we got hit by the enemy. And make no mistake about it, the enemy attack affected America. It affected the way I think about foreign policy because we can no longer take gathering threats for granted. If we see a threat gathering overseas, the lesson of September the 11th says we must pay attention to it. And if it gets so bad, we got to do something about it. We cannot assume that oceans protect us anymore. It affected our psychology in America. It also affected the economy. Going to get okay, and all of a sudden the attack came, and it hurt us bad. But we recovered because America's strong. We recovered because the American people are strong. And just as we're beginning to get our feet on the ground again, we had a problem with some of our fellow citizens telling the truth.
It is urgent that we immediately institute a job creation program patterned after the WPA of the administration of President Franklin D. Roosevelt. America has hundreds of billions of dollars of infrastructure needs. We must rebuild our roads, our bridges, water systems, sewer systems, libraries, build new schools and colleges, and new sustainable energy systems. What I'm proposing is a $500 billion program. it would be funded in this way. The Federal Reserve holds a large amount of Treasury securities, and a certain portion of those securities would be transferred to a newly created Federal Bank of Infrastructure Modernization. The money would be loaned to the states at zero interest. The states would pay the principal back, which would replenish funds in the bank. The zero interest loan program, through the creation of a Federal Bank of Infrastructure Modernization, would cut the cost of projects in half for states, thereby eliminating interest expense, or through the elimination of interest expense. Every state and local government would have access to $185 per capita per year for 10 years for infrastructure improvements. We can put millions of Americans back to work with just this one program. Millions of Americans.
We want to make sure our community college system is flexible and viable to help people find jobs that exist. Yesterday I was in Arizona, and I reminded people that in the old days of workforce training, they say just go train people. So we'd go out and train 1,000 hairdressers, and there might be 50 slots. You'd have 950 well-trained hairdressers with nothing to do. And as you go on to life, remember, part of service to your country is to help somebody in need. And for those of you in this community who are a part of the Army of Compassion, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And for those of you who want to figure out how to contribute to our society, do so. Do so and reach out a hand to somebody who might be hungry or homeless or lonely or hurt. The power of love in America is that it's a power that will change our society one soul at a time.
Each job lost represents a family dream deferred or destroyed. Each job lost represents a house whose mortgage may be in jeopardy, a family that may lose its health care, a young person who may lose his or her chance for an education, a retirement security that will be jeopardized or lost, a neighborhood that may lose longtime residents, a family that may break up under the circumstances of tremendous economic pressure. Tax cuts produced only a fraction of the jobs promised. The economy would have to create 375,000 new jobs per month in order to keep this administration from having the worst job creation record of any administration since the beginning of the Great Depression.